You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Well, good morning. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that he should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, Father God, we pause and say thank you for the reading of your holy scriptures. We pray that the lesson today brings a greater understanding of your love for us in Christ. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Well, as is my custom, I typically have a handout. Now, Sarah said, do you have a pass out? So, that's from Joe. So, I hope it's not worthy of being passed out, and that this lesson will be a blessing. And the thing was, this lesson is a previous one I have given, but with Derek's study of going through our hope in the church, he covered last week something that really stuck out to me, and I tied it into this lesson. So I hope you will enjoy going through this again. So let's open up in prayer. Father God, we thank you now for the time set aside where we can come together in fellowship around your word to get to know you better through the study of Scripture rightly divided, and to appreciate what you have accomplished in Christ, who sets in the heavenlies far above all, and we actually are there with him, and he chose us before the foundation of the world, but we can have that blessing, and we are now here on this earth being ambassadors and sojourners for Christ. And at times it's difficult to really pause and recognize what blessings we have and walk in them accordingly. So we hope now that this lesson will be encouraging, that we learn about the love of God through Christ in heavenly places. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. If you look at the scripture reading for today, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we see, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I had lunch with Derek and Chris this past week, and we were talking about traditionally when you speak to other Christians and, you know, we try to find out what their hope is. A question might be, you know, where would you like to go when you die? And the answer, of course, is obviously heaven. But typically, that's not what Jesus was talking about. If you go to John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should go to heaven. No, it says, he shall have everlasting life. And there are multiple references about the emphasis on everlasting life and not in heaven. Now, I looked up heaven, and there's a whole bunch of passages on heaven. But I thought it was really interesting that last week when Derek covered the phrase, the foundation of the world, and we looked at seven passages that were from or since the foundation of the world, and we looked at three that were before the foundation of the world. And going through that, it is really neat how this truth really jumped out at me about the love of Christ in heavenly places. Now, you have to back up to set a foundation. Now, nowadays, you know, there's often much written or said about love. I love ice cream. I love football. But, you know, by love for ice cream, is it, you know, really spiritually blessed? It blesses my midsection. But if you go to Scripture, if you in your handout here, we see in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, unless thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, I remember often I think of this verse when I go back to Genesis. I'll flip there. It's not on your handout, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you see right away where this love of the world was used against the Adamic nature of man. So here we have in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And the fact here that God gave Adam the freedom, but he gave them responsibility in the garden. So the one responsibility he had was not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he would have, you know, I guess, eternal life. Well, here we have in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, here Eve was a good Christian, as we say today. When she was talking with the enemy, she went to quoting what God said. As so should we, when we're in a situation where we are either, you know, have temptations or are being challenged, we need to have the Word of God in our heart that we can quote it accurately and use it in a certain situation, because we find out the Lord has given us all the tools to escape out of that situation where we're tempted. But what did Eve do? She quoted scripture, but she added to it. She said, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, the serpent said to the woman, surely you will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And verse 6 says, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, let's tie this into this 1 John chapter 2. It says there that the love of the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, let's see how Eve fulfilled all those categories. When woman saw that his tree was good for food, and was pleasant to the eyes, and desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and did eat. So here, she went through the process of thinking that, you know, I love this fruit. And man, if I eat this, I'll be like God because I'll know good and evil. It looks good. And she succumbed to the temptation. And then sin entered the world. Now, the three categories here, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, there's plenty in Scripture that talk about categorically those three things. The lust of the flesh, you can go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And there's a whole laundry list of things there talking about the lust of the flesh. Or the fruit of the flesh is against the fruit of the Spirit. And this passage is right before you find the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. So here you start in verse 16. Then I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Then it goes on: envyings, murders, drunkenness, revellings, and such likes, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So what a great list of the works of the flesh compared to the fruit of the Spirit. Now in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 18, 24 to 27, you see a young man in a situation where he's presented with a bad environment. And a harlot here says, "Come, let us take our fill of love in the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loaves." Drop down to verse 24. "Hearken unto me now, therefore, you children, and attend to my words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline in her ways. Go not straight in her paths, for she shall cut down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. For her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." Now, you know, as a person that often travels in business, there's been certain situations where, when it would really be convenient to be unfaithful on the road. Because, you know, certainly that wouldn't happen to me. Because, you know, I'm a Christian. But I've always put myself not in a position to be compromised, because many men of Scripture have succumbed to the power of the woman. Adam, the most innocent, succumbed to Eve. Okay? Who was Solomon, the wisest man? In the end, he worshipped the idols of his 700 concubines. Samson, the strongest man in Scripture, fell because of Delilah. David, the king, the most favored man in Scripture, saw the woman bathing herself on the rooftop who was married and had her husband killed in battle so he might take her as his wife. So, the most innocent, the strongest, the wisest, the most favored, all fell because of the power of a woman. So the lust of the flesh is real and powerful. If you set yourself up, don't think that since you're a Christian, you're going to be able to, you know, quickly get out of the situation. Don't walk amongst the evil. You know, "I beseech your brethren by the mercy of God, present a holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable purpose." Now, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. "For I know that me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not, that I do not, but the evil I would do not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is more that I did it, but sin that dwelleth with me. I find in it a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then my mind, I serve the law of God, but the flesh, the law of sin." When people accept Christ as their Savior, they become a new creation. The fact is, this old flesh cannot be transitioned into something good. When you're conceived in original sin. And that sin stays with you until you die and you separate yourself from this body of death, and you then become a place, and then becomes a spiritual body in heavenly. That's your new creation in Christ Jesus. So there often are many stories about trying to reform this old man, but you just can't do it. I think Leland has shared many things about the criminal justice system, where there are often many programs to try and reform the old man. And he just goes back to the same thing he's done before. Now, lust of the flesh is powerful. Lust of the eyes, well, of course, the eye is the gateway to the soul. So, you see here in Proverbs 6:32, whosoever committed adultery with a woman, lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Matthew 5:27, ye have heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with already in his heart. So, okay, Proverbs 6:32, well, heck, I haven't done that. I'm pretty good. Matthew 5 says, hold on. Even though you haven't physically done anything, if you look at her and say, well, look, man, look at that, you're guilty as well. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Now, in 2 Samuel 11, you see where this is David. He saw a woman on a roof, bathing herself. Verse 2 of 2 Samuel 11. And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And right away David sent somebody to find out who she was. And what said, is not this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent his messengers and took her, and she came unto him and lay with her, for she was purified from uncleanness, and she returned into her house. Verse 26 and 27. And the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, his husband, was dead. She mourned for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her into his house. She became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. That child that came out of that situation died. So, you know, David, where he said the New Testament, he was the most favored of God, was somebody also that gave into the lust of his eyes and the lust of the flesh. Now, the pride of life is the third category here. Now, pride is something unique because we're taught to be proudful of the work that we do. If you have any pride, you're going to give it your all. In sports, if you have pride, you will not be a slacker. So you're taught to give your all and be proud of your work. So how do you deal with pride? You know, is pride like a two-edged sword? Well, when we find the history of pride, pride was what Lucifer had in him that made him become Satan. So I think pride is probably the worst one of the categories here because of the fact that the pride is of the devil. So you see it here in Psalms chapter 10. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boast in his heart's desire, and bless the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through their pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. So if somebody is really caught up in this pride, it becomes like a god unto them because they only focus on their pride instead of seeking out the Lord. Proverbs 18:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way, in the forward mouth, do I hate. So, if God were to list things that he hates, pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the forward mouth are right on those lists. Proverbs 16:18 said, pride go before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. was a story about a rich young man coming to say, what must he do to inherit eternal life? You know, and this is one example of where, you know, you ask a Christian today, what happens if you die? Well, I hope I go to heaven. Well, back here, when Jesus was around, he had people come up to him and say, how can I have eternal life? And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and said, ask him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and he said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take the cross and follow me. And he was sad, saying, at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So pride was what was in his way of getting eternal life. Now, let's talk about the love of God. Here we've really talked about the love of man and the fact that that has involved with it the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's kind of the love that mankind defines. But the love of God is pure. Love of God is primarily the reason why we exist. We go back to John 3, chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God not sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither hath come into the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are all wrought in God. Now, go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested in the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. John 15, 12 through 13 says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, someone even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a tremendous demonstration of the love of God to give his only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, we see, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, the love of God was all wrapped up into the gift that was in Christ Jesus. Now, if you look at the love of God through Christ in heavenly places, this is where you start seeing some really neat things. And this is where I start getting back to what I was talking about in Derek's lesson about the one hope of the church of the one body. In that hope, we see the calling of the one body has as it hope the same thing that Christ has in the heavenlies far above all. So in the study, the hope of the church in one body, we looked at the phrase the foundation of the world. In doing so, we discovered this phrase occurred 10 times in Scripture. 7 of them are used with the words from or since the foundation of the world. Now, we found all 7 of these references pertain to Israel in the calling that they have in Abraham. There are 3 occurrences where these words appear together with a different time emphasis when it says before the foundation of the world. In these 3 passages, we learn about the love of Christ in heavenly places. In John 17, we find the Lord praying in the Garden of Gethsemane to God, and Jesus spoke of the love that God had for him before the foundation of the world. Here it says in John 17:22, "And the glory which thou gave me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved him, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given to me, from thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world." So the love of God was present with Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, in 1 Peter, we find a description of Jesus and his blood being foreordained before the foundation of the world as a lamb without blemish or spot. So if you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Now, Derek pointed out a peculiar emphasis on verse 19. This blood of Christ that was established before the foundation of the world basically is in heaven as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And you'll see where that ties in later. So finally, in Ephesians chapter 1, we see that he has chosen us. Now, the us in this verse applies to the church of the one body before the foundation of the world. Further, we receive the same love that Christ receives, and we are holy and without blame. And those are the same words that we use to describe the precious blood of Christ being as a lamb without spot or blemish in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. So you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I mean, that's just tremendous. If you think about, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. Well, I'm sitting here. I have this, you know, little home. I have a car. You know, why can't I claim some of that down here? What? How about some kingdom authority where I can claim it and blab it and grab it? No, the kingdom doesn't apply to us. The fact is, we have all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's not about here. It's all about there. While we're here, we're supposed to tell others about there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You know, this heavenly places seems pretty common through this scripture. The fact is, we have the blessings in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For our grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So don't have any pride come in here, because any works that you have done, you may be proud, you may have built 100,000 houses, you may have fed the hungry, clothed the poor, but has nothing to do with your status in Christ Jesus and the love that God has for you. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 3:9. And to make all men see was the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This eternal purpose was when the Godhead got together before the foundation of the world, and God loved us so much that he established with Christ the eternal purpose. And the neat thing was, we're part of that. He thought of each and every one of you and elected you to this body, that is the church which is in Christ Jesus. So, because of that, verse 12, we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Now, the prayer of Paul goes on here, verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 5, be ye therefore followers of God as still children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That we have love of Christ in heavenly places. We are with him right there, right now. Isn't it nice to know you're loved? Let's close in prayer. Father, as we go through the lesson here, we thank you for the scriptures that we learn about the love of God, how you had the eternal purpose and put that purpose in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And as a matter of fact, we were part of that plan. So as a Christian, we're identified with Christ in the heavenlies far above all, and we're receiving his blessings. And it's just fabulous to think about the Lord. We really, truly are grateful, humble people. And we pray that we really appreciate what you've done for us and what you continue to do. So we pray that we would do what you have us be called to do, which is certainly to share the fellowship of the mystery and do the good works that you called us to do, and to grow in a faith that's most holy and become better Christians and stewards of your truth in Scripture. So we thank you for it. It's in Christ's name, your poor sake, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.